Now, how to witness on the job. If and when you get attacked, which you will, on your job, or your religion gets attacked, or your church or whatever, and it's a matter of them coming by and, you know, just banging at you, and let's say you've been witnessing to them and so forth, and maybe collectively they do this, and wouldn't do it individually, or maybe even individually one does it, and he begins to accuse you. Then you need to smile. That's the best thing you can do, first of all. When you get accused, just smile. Just smile, unruffled. Don't let that demon inside of you rile up. Because if you do, you're going to have demon response. Demon response will never open up for the Lord. Smile at him, unruffled. And there's several possibilities, you know. Each person has to do it the way that they would normally do it, and depends on the situation. Sometimes you have an answer, sometimes you don't give any answer. But you come back with a knowing, with a, you know, with a people sense that he knows. And there's no braggadocio about it. It's just a solid, quiet, humble knowing, a peaceable answer. You can say, well, there's enough love and peace and joy and eternal assurance for everyone. But it's only available for those who want it. And that way you can pull it back from them. No, you just say, well, if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. Now, if you're trying to force anything down, then they can't argue against it. You're not trying to force something down. Or you can say, well, you don't have to have it, you know. I'm just thrilled with this new life, and I just let you know how I got it, what I got, how you can get in too. Now, I'll just walk in this newfound love and peace myself if you don't want in. I just thought maybe this was so wonderful, I just wanted you to know about it. I mean, I've been so excited with it, I wanted to share it with you. I just wanted you to be able to have it too, because once I walked, you know, same as the rest of you. I know where you're coming from. I was there. I walked for years, and I went through all kinds of things, but I have found something really important. I was just trying to open up my heart and share with you. I know what it's like to be on that side, feel that way. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to help you. But if you don't want it, I mean, you know, all I can do is offer it. And if you've got different opinions, you want to believe something different, you help yourself. I'm just doing what I can to help you. See, that cuts through the debate and all the theological opinions and differences. It's right under the heart of the matter. Let them know your heart is right, just trying to give them a hand. And they can't walk away ashamed after attacking you when your heart was just to help them, see. Or you just smile at them and say nothing. Or you just smile and say, and they really attack. There's all kinds of things you just say, really? And smile. Really? As though you know the score, and you know that they know the score, and you know that they don't know, you know, what you know, and just get off the subject. Don't say any more for a few weeks unless they open up and show some openness. Just forget it for a while. Just pull it back. They can't argue against no argument. Just smile and say nothing. And see, they need something to fight against. Those demons want to fight. If they want to fight, don't give them anything to fight with. Just smile and look at them. Go back to work. Leave them alone. Don't pay any attention to them. Don't offer them a thing. Just every day be smiling, full of joy, singing to yourself, and let them all sit around, you know, not being able to have it. Let them attack you and have you be sweet back. That way it makes them feel bad. But if you get nasty back, then they feel justified, and then they don't worry about hitting you up, see. So it's very important you react correctly. And if somebody asks you, they come over and they ask you about something, but they're not open. That's not the motive. You know they're not open. And they ask you, in many situations, it's good just to beg off. Just say, oh, I don't really think you're interested. You go your way, and I'll go the way of the Bible. And just make them hungry. Just seem disinterested in telling them. And let them come around and beg you a bit if they want it. They're not interested. Don't let anybody pick a fight with you. Don't fall for that. You know, the devil comes over and somebody wants to pick. They'll fight with you. What about, they want to pick them. What about this? And you feel obligated to, and he wants to fight with you, but don't fight with him. Say, no, no, no. Say, I'm not going to fight with you. You know, if you're really hungry inside for truth, if I have something that you really want, if you really feel like I can be a help to you and you're open, don't hesitate to come. I'll be glad to help you. But if you want to pick a fight, if you want to argue, I don't want to argue. No sense in arguing religion. You believe something strongly? Go your way. You're not going to convert me. And if you're not open to be converted, why talk? I'm not going to waste my time with anybody who's not really open. And get down to the heart of that. Don't let them drag you all over the face of the earth and let those demons, you know, chomp on you and chomp them back. That doesn't do any good. Now, it's important to understand that there's no real pat answers for anything. You've got to assess them correctly. You've got to know where they are. You've got to be led of the Spirit. There's no one answer you can just use for everybody. The pastor says, you know, use this for this. You can't really do it that way. All you can do is get the idea of how things are done, and you've got to be led of the Spirit, and you've got to see and assess them correctly and give them an answer that is of God, that's soft, to know when to give them an answer and when not to give them an answer. And but don't just, you know, just talk to be arguing or satisfying the curiosity. And don't let them run you around the bush with endless argumentative questions. This is a very common trick of the devil when you're trying to witness to somebody. Well, how can you get all the everybody? How can you get everybody in the ark? I mean, all the animals in the ark. Well, I don't understand. Well, how could the flood cover the tops of all the mountains? Well, how could the Red Sea go back? Well, who did Cain marry? What do you care who Cain married? What about your Christian life? Would you walk with God if you knew that God was real? Would you surrender your life to Him? Don't worry about the ark. That all got figured out a long time ago. Think about the flood, that's past. Think about judgment to come and about your life. Cut through all that hay, there's no end to it. There is no end to it. Believe me, there's no end. Endless arguments. And the devil will use that to keep them from you from ever getting down to the heart of the matter. And so many Christians are dupes out there, trying to answer, and they plow through books and libraries, and they're trying to find answers, and the devil's having a field day in them, having lots of fun, dragging you all over the earth. They're going to drag you on for weeks, having you do research and get answers, get back, that they'll just jump to another point as soon as you get an answer they haven't got, they can't answer. Boom, you're off to another. Well, what about this? And you're researching like crazy, and what about this? And you're back researching again. Well, what about that? You never get to the heart. Cut right into it. I was witnessing to an atheist one time in my home, and I'm not even sure how he got there now, but he said, well, if God would reveal himself, see, he's hiding all the time, you know, and you can't believe in God, you can't see him, you don't know him, you know, no way to tell. If he'd come down and reveal himself, then I'd serve him. And I said, well, wait a minute, now I'm going to ask you a question. I said, I don't want you to answer quickly on this. I don't want a stock answer off the top of your head. I want you to think about this before you answer it. I would like an honest answer. I said, an honest one. I said, are you willing to give me an honest answer? First of all, I said, you've got to lay a foundation before you give an answer. I'll just give you a lying answer. I said, are you willing to tell me the truth if I ask you a question? Yeah. I said, well, wait a minute. Think about it. Are you really willing to be honest with me? If I ask you an honest question, will you think about it before you answer? Examine your heart and mind and give me an honest answer. Okay. I said, all right, now don't answer quickly on this one. You think about it. If God really revealed himself, if somehow you knew that he was real, if you really knew he was real, if some way he made himself known that you knew he was real, would you leave the world and serve him? And he thought about it a while. He said, no, you know, I guess I wouldn't. I guess I wouldn't. He said, you know, I've always said, that was always my argument. If God showed himself so I could see him, then I would show him. He said, but I guess I wouldn't. He said, I like to do this and this and this. I guess I wouldn't. You see, that cut right through all that lying argument. He wasn't willing in the first place. Wasn't willing at all. I said, well, unless you're willing, you know, unless you're willing to serve him, if you knew he was real, then there's no use talking to you. For what purpose? You're not going to serve him. After I get you convinced, convinced against your will, you have the same opinion still, you're not going to do a thing. Get down to the heart of the matter. I was witnessing to a person one time at Boeing Company, and he was on second shift, his engineer on second shift, and I would just get about a 5-minute overlap with him, and we'd leave some notes. And this went on for quite a long time. And I was getting a little discouraged with that for a while because he wasn't getting through to him. He wasn't coming across. And I was thinking of quitting talking to him because I wasn't getting the effect. And then he wrote me a note, and he said, I want you to know, and the Lord probably put it on his heart to do so. He said, I want you to know that I don't believe everything I tell you.
That's right.
And I want you to know that I'm not necessarily rejecting what I argue against. And it gave me hope again. See? And I realized, and this happens very commonly. They throw up a lot of hay on the outside. Inside, they're thinking about it, but outside, they're arguing with you. But inside, often, they know they're wrong, and they suspect you're right. And that's why it's often important to cut right into the heart of the matter and get right to it. Because that's where the whole issue is. And the peripheral arguments usually are not really the argument. They aren't the reasons. And the proof of that is seen that, you know, you have all the trouble, the flood and the evolution and the ark and this and this and this. But as soon as they bow their knee and give their heart to God, they don't have to have anybody explain the ark to them or anything else. That's no longer a problem to them. And I told you last week, this one fellow was across from me in Boeing Company after a hot denial and anger. The next day he said, well, maybe someday I'll become a Christian. After arguing against the whole thing, then saying, maybe someday I'll become a Christian. See, he knew he wasn't. He knew that I was right. He knew it was the best way. He just wasn't willing. And he said, please, I'm too selfish. I was debating with another atheist one time in his home, and he grabbed out an encyclopedia to prove his point. And he read in there something, and I said to him, are you going to bank everything on encyclopedia? He said, yep. I said, you mean that encyclopedia, and I read off this, if that says it, that is your basis and your grounds, and you're going to believe that? He said, yep. And I said, okay, let's look at that again. You just misread that and got the opposite reason out of it. And I went through that, and he totally read it opposite. And I went through that carefully, and I got him to acknowledge that that was his Bible. And then I went through it and showed him we had it wrong. And he flipped over the other way. I said, but now you're saying just the opposite, see? And he got saying such stupid things and so dishonest that his atheist wife in the kitchen listening would say to him, oh, honey, you know. See, it got so stupid trying to, you know, I said, see, even your own wife is acknowledging your dishonesty. You're dishonest with yourself. You're a totally dishonest man. You wouldn't believe the truth if you saw it bold-faced. See? You got to get down to the heart, or you can't get him converted. I spent 17 weeks with a Jehovah's Witness on the job because he was working right there at lunch hour. And every lunch hour, we'd sit down. We went through all these different doctrines. And I was answering every question he asked. But he couldn't answer all the questions. So he was writing them down and was going to go get the answers. And after 17 weeks of several doctrines, he never got the answers. He never could find anybody from his group that would give him the answers. He finally asked to quit because everything piled up against him until he was so embarrassed in every area and could not hold anything in any area. He asked to quit. And then I let him have it, politely. And I said, you see, you are now, I said, see what the person you're in? You're dishonest. See, you're Jehovah's Witness, they don't have the truth. And you can see they don't have the truth. And you can't find a man among you. Your best teachers have no answers. And you're stuck by the word that you say you go by the word. You don't go by the word. You're a liar.
Right.
The Jehovah's Witnesses don't go by the word. They go by your booklets. And these booklets are lying booklets, cons to the word of God. And now know that you are a liar, a fraud, deceitful, a purveyor of false information. And anybody you ever go to, you'll know in your heart that you're a liar and you're bringing them falsehood, and you cannot hold that at all with anybody who knows what they're talking about. You're only giving falsehood on somebody because he doesn't know the answers. I said, shame on you, because you won't come to Jesus. You're not married to the Bible, to the Word of God, the truth, to God. You're married to Jehovah's Witnesses. You're married to a false doctrine. And I made it very clear to him. You've got to shame them clear to the ground. Let them know where they stand. So that, hoping that conviction, every time they show up, something is going to hope there's some integrity left in the person that he, you see. And this is what I found over and over and over again. I talked with a Mormon one time, and I showed him certain things in the concordance, the very things. He said, well, if this is true, Mormonism is wrong. I said, that's right. And he gave it a full investigation. And as soon as he did, he clammed up. As soon as he did, he was not interested in talking anymore at all, because he saw that Mormonism was wrong. He came to a decision in his mind. Am I willing to leave Mormonism? What about my wife? What about my parents? What about the church? What about my friends? And as soon as he faced up to that, he had to admit, he had to make a decision. And his decision is, I'm not willing to leave it. And then he closed up. I've talked to other Mormons, Mormon lead engineers, same thing. They said, you know, we don't have any arguments against you. We can't refute you, but we're going to believe it anyway and live it anyway. And you see, Jesus never tried to argue people into the truth. And when he sent the people forth two by two, he said, if you don't receive it, shake the dust off of the city against them, go on your way. Somebody won't take you in. They won't open up to you. I mean, he's looking for open hearts. Whosoever will to the Lord will come. And there's plenty of willing people down underneath the facades and the alligator hides and all the rest, the people who are wanting truth and wanting God. Don't argue with these liberals and this Church of Christ ministers for 14 weeks and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're coming to your door and you just argue. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. It's almost impossible to get one of those people with that demon in them out of that doctrine. You've got to be really good. You've got to get somebody just getting into it, or doesn't know what he's doing, or something. And what I do, if I ever take any time to any of them, I always give them a short test to measure their honesty first. And if they flunk it, I say, away with you. And I let them know. I was a Baptist. Baptist I was talking to, he was open until such a time as he had to make the decision. Then he closed up, and I told him, go your way. And he knew in his heart, though. He knew in his heart. And he wanted it. And I told him, no, you go your way. I'm not going to talk to you. You just go without it. I'll have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll have the presence of God. I'll have the leading. I'll have the anointing. You go without it. You're denying God. You go with the denial of the promise of the Father. And you know in your heart that you're denying the promise of the Father. You're denying the Word of God. You'd be a nun. You'd be a half-gospel Baptist, if you want. And he went away, but his heart was convicted. And he had to come back, and he had to apologize, and he had to begin seeking, begin to open up again. His attitude changed because he saw that what had happened. You cannot be afraid of showing them their heart and what's happened, the devil's work. All these mamby-pamby witnesses, you know, that are afraid to let people know really what they believe, and they all scoot around the outside in their polite little theological skirmishes. That's the wrong way to do it. Exegesis against exegesis, and church against church, and religion against religion, ecclesiastical opinion, and And well, our church believes, well, you could be right, but we think, and, you know, that kind of stuff. You can't win anybody that way. That's a disgrace to the Holy Spirit and to the truths of God's Word. On the other hand, these obnoxious Christians that come in with Pharisaic, legalistic, accusing, snobbery attitude, demeaning others, pummeling them, you know, bawling them out, accusing. You can't win anybody that way. You're just a sounding brass, you know. You can't win them. They won't open up to you unless they know there's heart. They've got to know that you know, and you know that you know, and you know that they know that you know, and so there's no mistake about that.
Right.
And you got to know that you've got an answer, and it's doing something in your life that they can see.
Right.
And it's for them. And you love them and want to help them. You're not judging them, but you're letting them know you're not going to listen to their games. And when they tell you, well, you know, I this and this, then you're afraid to say anything because it's their religion. I don't ask them a lot of questions ahead of time. I never ask them what church you go to. Because as soon as I do, then you're finding yourself attacking their church. Like, because you're bringing things that the church doesn't believe. So the less I know, the better. Then I can give them the whole thing. I believe. I don't know what church they go to. All I'm doing is giving them the Word of God.
Right.
And I don't try to find out all this stuff first, then you're refuting it, and then they think you're just being accusing them and their group. You need to know when people are open and when they close up, you know, and so you know how far to go with them. Witnessing needs to be led of the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be geared to the person you're witnessing to. Now, this can't be done, you know, when you're passing out tracts in the street or on a campus, and you only got 2 to 3 minutes to talk to them, or maybe less. Obviously, you can't do this. But when you're dealing with a person on the job, and the theme here is witnessing on the job, presupposing you're seeing people, you know, on a continuing basis, then you need to relate it to them. Find the opening. Witnessing essentially is not soapboxing. So many people are scared of witnessing. Think, I have to go out and put my soapbox on, stand up and put my Bible in my hand, and I have to start preaching. You don't know, that's not witnessing. That's not the way you witness. I was in a carpool. Let me give you a show how I do. I was in a carpool. And one fellow in there, I could see as he talked about the newspaper, things happening in the newspaper, the world scene, he was disturbed inside. He was always disturbed because the communists and about America and what was happening and things going under and so forth. There was my opening. And I would begin talking about world events, and it always world events turns to confidence in God. And like God has an out. Out of this world, for those who this world is going down the drain. As long as there are hopes in the world, and you read the newspapers, you're in trouble. See, things are going down. They're getting bad. They're getting worried. They're fearful. And I let them know that there's a haven of rest and a peace down here. There's a group of people who can live in peace when the world's in a storm and a turmoil. And your God is going to take that people out, and you can escape these things and not be a part of it, not have to worry about it, not have to feel. And I've been able to get through to them in that way. And there's another person. His name is Bob Ward. He goes to this assembly. And he was on loan to me as an illustrator for a short time to do some drawings at the Boeing Company, and I've been witnessing to him. It was no use witnessing him in a standard manner. Even he was interested in church, and he was interested in miracles, tongues, the bizarre, the unusual, the phenomena. Now, you know, those obvious Christians out there say, never witness anybody about tongues, never mention tongues, get them saved first. Well, in general, that's right. But not in this case. I told him about tongues right off. He was reading the Lost Island of Atlantis. He was, you know, hunting for something someplace. And there's an opening right there, the Lost Island of Atlantis. Well, I can tell him something that's found. And I began talking about what God is doing and how you can have the leading of God, anointing, and speak with new tongues, and your spirit can speak to God. It bypasses the mind. And what the Lord, and he was interested in this. This is something. See, the people who are looking for power today, look within yourself, find yourself. There's an opening right there. See? And trying to find some power out here And they're into that today to a lot of people. And they need that. They need to understand that there is a power for the life, because they've been to dead churches. They went in Sunday school to dead, dry, old churches. They listened to the stories until they were sick of them. And they need something that they know that they can happen to their life. I met Christians on the job. I began to witness to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't need salvation. They needed the next step. They needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I had so many of them coming, I started a class. And then I had about 20-something in the class at lunch hour. I collected them together because they found people who were interested in receiving and hearing about it. And so we witnessed in that area. There was another fellow on the job that I worked with, a seating engineer. He was a Lutheran. And Lutheran to him was nothing but just a dead club. It meant nothing. His wife was a Mormon. And he saw that they had something that even the Lutherans didn't have, and some zeal and so forth. And so I began to witness to him of God's love and God's power and God's plan and the joy in God and the reality and salvation and so forth. I began to deal with him on the basis of something that would appeal, because that's what he needed, and that's what what he was looking over the fence at over here in a small degree as it looked to him. I mentioned to you before, I talked to this atheist, and I began to work with him on the basis of anti-evolution. I began to knock that down, and the mathematical probability of prophetic accuracy, and I began to appeal to, because he had arguments in his mind where he could not believe the Bible, and I began to strip these down and show him that his position was untenable. I began to take him back to ask him questions. What was the first thing? You know, what was the first thing in the universe or outside the universe? What's the very first thing? How the universe? What was it before the universe? See? Well, you know, cosmic dust or whatever. Well, it came from energy. Where'd the energy come from? Total silence. Can energy just be there? How can something just be there? How can it just be there? When did it start? Why did it start? Was it always there? So forth. And begin to appeal to his mind and show him that he did not have the answers, and show them the problems with evolution, deep problems in evolution, mammoth problems. There was a man I worked with in the green chain when I was young on a lumber mill, and we worked outside. And every day you could see the stars, and you could see the moon, you could see the sun. And the very first thing he said on the job, I hadn't been a job over 10 minutes with him, and he said, we worked together in this one section pulling lumber, and he said, what's with you? You're different. What church do you go to? And I said, I go to the Pentecostal church. And he said, Pentecostals are worse than Catholics. That's the first thing he said. But he'd look out, and he'd see the sun come up, and he'd wonder about these things. And that was my opening. I started talking about these things. He was interested, but it wasn't very long, and we were into the Creator and the magnificence of God and what He's prepared for them that love Him. And all these things. And I knew more about these things than he did, and I was able to continue to bring this information, and God began to do a work in his heart. He got saved, and eventually, and filled the Holy Spirit, and my father baptized him with water, He went out to the Navy, and he wrote me a letter and said, Don, I feel like I owe you my life. I'm so happy in Jesus. His father was a drunkard. He had 3 brothers who were all in prison. He had a terrible family. He said, I feel like I owe you my life. But you see, there was an avenue I got through to him. I couldn't just talk religion. He didn't believe in religion. He didn't believe in the Bible. He didn't believe in Pentecost. Witnessing should be a natural sharing with a purpose, geared to the salvation of the individual, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or some truth that would take him higher and deeper in God. Don't waste your time with a lot of peripheral things. There are people that get some people saved and immediately want to give them some mundane thing that won't do anything for them. And what's more, they get an opportunity to speak to a young people's group, you know, at the Presbyterian church, or a Baptist church, or a Methodist church, or something. They get a chance to speak to some other church a little bit. What do you want to do? They want to bring them a Bible survey. They want to bring them some things they already know and believe. What a waste of time. Bring them into something new. Now, it's true that if you have a long time to deal with them, you start where they are, gain their confidence, and then start slowly building. That's a good plan. But when you only have a few weeks to bring something, There's no sense in just helping the Baptist Bible understanding a little bit more in a certain area. I mean, you've got to take them into another step. You've got to give them something they can, this is new, this is wonderful, and he's proving it from the Bible. You've got to open them up. Then they'll want more of it. You give them something along the line that they could have brought or somebody else could have brought from their group. You haven't done anything for them. We need to always be thinking, take them deeper, take them higher.
Yes.
Do something for them. Don't just witness and talk to them to be talking to them. Give them something. It's important to sign them up, so to speak. You've got to get them to a place where they make commitments, where they can believe, where they'll move out. And then dead churches, get them out. Get them out.
Right.
Don't leave them to die, though.
Right.
Worst thing you can do is leave them in a dead church to die.
Right.
Bring them into full truth. Get them into Bible college where they can learn the Word. Get them in here where we can bring them up and teach them and build them into... You bring them into full truth. Get them into Bible college where they can learn the Word. Get them in here where we can bring them up and teach them and build them in the faith. You can't deal with them. You can't really, all you can do is a minimum amount if you only see them on occasion. Get them under your wing where you can care for them as a hen does a brood and take care of them. Get them signed up. There's so many people afraid to get them to sign up. They just talk at them and walk off. But you can't just wave, a gold claim in the face. It didn't do anybody any good. Give them the deed. Give them the mine. Let them get the gold out of it. Don't just aim some of them at them and walk off. It's important to be patient when you're witnessing with other people. You can't expect them to immediately just grab everything you believe instantly because you believe it and say, you didn't come in that fast. You had reservations. You had, demons bothering this. Skepticism. They're not so sure. Everybody's claiming something out in this Babylonish world today. Everybody is claiming something different. They can't just believe you because you say so. You've got to win the confidence. You've got to be patient with them, patiently dealing with them and bringing them on in. This fellow at the mill, for example, he said, he wanted me to come over, and gamble with him at lunch hour, and the deals. And I told him, no, I didn't gamble. I didn't do the things. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. He said, I'm single. I don't have a wife. Nothing, any money for my wife or children. I'm only doing pennies and nickels or quarters or whatever. He said, I can afford it. I enjoy it. It's not bankrupting me. It's not hurting me. I don't see anything wrong with it. I said, well, do it then.
Sure.
I haven't said anything.
Right.
We went into a long argument, try to hunt, find scriptures against gambling, and then go into the long deals of babies who robbed from the milk. And what's his case? Don't deal with peripheral arguments. Let them alone. And about 6 to 8 weeks later, I kept witnessing about his soul and things of God. And then I said, aren't you going on your break? He said, no. He said, no, I'm going to take it right here. He said, the only reason I ever went over was to gamble. I said, oh, you're not doing that anymore? He said, no. I said, how come? He said, I just don't feel it's right. See? The Holy Ghost convicted him. This guy was on my davenport arguing about smoking. Well, I don't see anything wrong with arguing about smoking. See? I don't see anything wrong with smoking. I said, well, I guess then you'll just have to suck that smoke and blow it out until such a time as you do. Suck it in and blow it out. I don't see anything wrong with it. But I said, but I let him know that, that was, I said, you see me out here. So you don't think. You don't have any confidence in me smoking away and, my drinking and smoking. What do you think? If people are stubborn, pride, So I let him go. Later he told me, I quit smoking. I said, oh, you did? How come you quit smoking? He said, I knew it was wrong. I just couldn't, In fact, Bob Ward told me, before he was ever saved, he said, I'm going to have to quit my smoking. I never said anything about smoking. He said, I know. I said, oh, really? Yeah, he said, I know. He said, I can't smoke. I'm going to be a Christian. I know that I can't. See, there's something there that's if it's of a different family. They just know. Also, I'm going to throw this out free of charge, whether I get tomatoes back or not. I have talked to enough people now, most of them being you, to know that when you came in with your long, scraggly hair, out of your hippie veil, that there was a certain mentality and it said a certain thing about your certain past life. And you knew that to join this new society of Christians, moving in the Holy Spirit in the new realm, that you cannot be that way and do it. You said, all the arguments, didn't make any difference. Inside the heart, it knows. You're saying a certain thing. And once the cut is made, you feel different when you come across. And I was talking to somebody maybe just yesterday. They had long hair when they came in, and two of them we just talked about yesterday. And was telling about, you know, and one of them was, he knew that he was like these other people, and he knew the type of things they. And one of them in the church, in his long hair, said, well, you've got to be this way to witness to the hippies, because you can't, they won't accept you plastic, straight people. They've got to be able to relate. And he came back next week and his hair all cut off. I said, what happened to you? Well, he said, I was out in the university district, and I got this hippie, and I began to witness him about the Lord, and he said, well, if you're different, how can you look like us? And another one came to me, and he had his cut off, and what happened to you? And he said, well, I went downtown, I was talking to this preacher, and this guy was, another fellow from the chapel and me, and I had long hair, and he had short hair, and the guy kept talking to him all the time, and he kept ignoring me, because I was kind of like, you know, some girl that he'd picked up, and he realized that he had no confidence in this way, see? And the world, I have got lots of quotes from the world's own magazines, from Women Libs magazines and liberal magazines and the world's fashion magazines. They admit what all this is about. They say this is a symptom of our rebellion. And we're rebelling against nature and against government and against normal morality and the way things generally should be for a man. We're just the way we're going to be. And they rebel against it. And the others, of course, some of them are dupes that come along and just following everybody else in a messed up world. And the Bible, of course, deals with that. And you can, and just read that last week. But we've got to come all the way across and you've got to be patient. You've got to give the Holy Spirit time to deal with the heart. There comes a time you've got to talk to him about it, however. Then give him time to think about it and God to work on him and bring him into truth and then and so forth. And I said the other day, and all of us had an amen, and I said, I am sure glad that we've held the line of community chapel. I could not come in and have music ministry, and you out here look like the derelicts of the world, and the rebellious society, and the hippies, and all the rest. I could not be happy in a situation like that at all. And we've had lots and lots of cases of the Holy Spirit convicting people of that. Now, this thing is, pray silently against demons that are bothering the people when you're witnessing. They're bothering them. As you do, begin to pray silently against them. I went to this is not a witnessing case, actually, but we had a fellow in our church who began to get critical of me and the church, and he got in a bad state, and his wife was still faithful to the Lord. And I was in his home, and I was talking to him. He was in a bad spiritual state. And I was talking to demons, and I knew it. It's a number of years ago. And everything out of his mouth. I mean, he was critical of every single thing that happened. He was critical of us collecting money to build this sanctuary. He was critical of this. He was critical of that. And I began to pray in my heart as I preached to him. I said, Lord, and he said, oh, you know, I told him these were demons. And he said, and this is about 5 years ago or six. And he said, oh, yeah, demons. Everything's demons, demons, demons. And so I kept on talking. I said, well, see, that's of course what the demons want to do. The demons want to say, all the demons say, oh, demons, demons. They don't want to admit. The demons put that in your mind, just like the anti-communist campaigns and so forth and so forth. Just got to reading in yesterday's paper, well, Madeleine O'Hara's, you know, the famous so-called, the infamous atheist in America, her son has given the heart to the Lord, as you know. And so he was telling on his mom, and he said that the lawsuit against Christian praying in the Christian schools, he says, was sponsored by the communists, and told how the mother was involved with communists and communist agencies, and a number of communist agencies in this country. In fact, he even wanted to go to Russia and live in Russia. And they told him, no, you stay in America. We can use you more in America than we can in Russia. And if she went there, she might not be a communist anymore, you know. She'd just be out there in poverty, see it for herself, and then be disillusioned. But in here, she could still work for the cause. And they told her to stay here and work for the cause. And he's letting them know that. He said, they're trying to keep the communism in the court and stuff. They were purposely did everything they could to keep the issue of communism out of that and expose really what was behind it. And there's a lot of demons behind it. A lot of things are being done and said. As you're talking with people, you know, and I talked to this person. I kept talking about the standpoint of demons. Like, just, you know, I saw it there. Okay, I knew it was. But I was praying in my heart against those spirits. And they begin to break down and break down and break down. And then I asked him if I could pray for him and get him delivered from these spirits that were troubling him. He denied there was any demons involved. I asked him if I could pray against those demons that were involved. And he said, yes. I prayed for him. Those spirits broke and he got up and he hugged me. And he felt different and didn't have a problem. And those things were gone. But see, praying against those spirits, bind those things, pray against them in your heart, not out loud. Be loving and be caring. Answer every attack and every argument with a non-defensive, loving, fatherly answer. Just show them a good spirit back, and you really care for them. And, you know, when we talk with things like, well, I think that's fanaticism. No. You just smile. Relaxed and said, well, I can see how it looked that way to you. You haven't been familiar with the spiritual realm, have you? You haven't been familiar with spiritual things. You've never really moved and walked in the spirit, as the Bible says, have you? Well, since you believe the Bible, because you believe in the spirit realm, you believe in the experience of the prophets and the apostles, because you believe the Bible. So let's analyze them for a moment and let's see the parallel here. There's an exciting new realm that's open for you. Something offering, not just arguing. It's open for you to have. You know, someday, brother, you're going to smile and be reminded of this day when normal spiritual experiences in heavenly places will seem like fanaticism. You're going to say, yeah, I remember arguing about that thing. I know, but in my heart, I really knew and I long for what you've got, but I come right out and tell them this way. I just talk to them this way and say, you know in your heart, you know, you'd love to have what I've got, but you don't know how to get there. You're a little bit fearful, and maybe the spirits are dragging on you. But you know, there is hope. You can get rid of those things. But lots of people get rid of them. There's no sense in playing the game. See, once they know that you know, I've had lots of people. They hold all this up, and I just wade right onto it. And then they open up because they know you know them. Once they know you know. A lot of Christians are so afraid to tell them what they know about him. So they're hanging out here, and he keeps giving all this hay, and they know it's hay, but they're afraid to do anything with it. I just say, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just take all this hay and stick it on the stack over here. And let's get right down to where you really believe what's the truth. See, I know you don't believe that stuff. I know you just, it's a defense mechanism being thrown up. Because you're afraid that maybe you'll be vulnerable in here. Maybe you're going to be vulnerable to God. What's going to happen to your life? What happens if you're going to believe this, I'm telling you? Because you really believe it in your heart anyway. It isn't any good to stay up here. You don't believe it. You believe it. I know you believe it. You know that I know you believe it. I know that you know that I know you believe it. So, you know. So let's just talk about the real thing. Your real problem is this and this, this, isn't it? Well, yeah, I'm having trouble with that. So let's say, well, listen, God loves you. God can help you. Let me pray for you. And I tell you what we're going to do. I'll pray with you, and we'll start moving around with it. I'd like you to come to church with me. And we'll sit by you. You don't have to worry about anything. And not let anybody get at you until you're good and ready. But I want something. Let God have a chance to speak to your heart. And see, talk to them from a way that they feel like somebody's going to help me. Then they'll open up. But if you're just going to attack them, kick them, accuse them, berate them, overpower them, smash their ego and show them to be stupid for your great, then they don't want that. And the great wall is up there. Now, ask questions if you can do so, and I have to qualify this. If you can do so, ask questions oftentimes to make them think and commit themselves. I have been able to bring people across by just lots of questions. You know, you can say things, and then the mind shields it, hops off to this. You don't get anything that way. And I never let people hopscotch on me. I made that mistake early, and I corrected it. What about this? I say, you can't use one scripture against another. We're going to deal with this first. I brought this up. You don't answer a question with a question. I've asked you an honest question. We're going to deal with it. We're going to get the answer to it. I take them right back and hold them. And so you have to pull them back several times. I won't let them off of it. You know, this is, I ask you a question. You have to say, I don't know. It looks like I am wrong and the Bible is right. That's okay. And then we'll chalk up one over here and we'll go on to the next one. But I won't let them just hopscotch you around. And that's the favorite tactic, and most all Christians fall for it. What about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, I'll see you. Now it's past. You haven't gained a thing. Because they haven't dealt with it. And that's one reason it's good to ask them questions and make them think and have to give an answer. Well, what do you think about this? Well, then why this? How can that be true if this? And they have to think, give an answer. Say, well, no, you can't use that. I can't have an answer because of this, can you? I mean, would that make sense because of this? Well, would you say that in this case? Oh, no, how can you say it in this case? The sign of the heart, you can't really, can you? You can't really, can you? You don't answer me. You can't really, can you? No, you can't. So that argument's no good, is it? Okay, well, is there any legitimate argument against it? Does it appear to be right? Would you believe it if it were right? Do you suspect that it's right? Do you suspect that I know that's right? Do you suspect that you've got the wrong interpretation here? Are you trying to find your way around the Bible? Do you really want to find your way around the Bible? Do you really want to be able to know what God says and follow? Does it do you any good to find your way around the Bible? Just to sneak around. God knows, and your heart you know, and I know, so what good is it doing anybody? Get down where they live and help them through the thing. But you've got to show them love. You can't be berating and snobbish and looking down, you know. And you're going to have to be led to the Spirit. You just can't use any one technique on anybody. You've got to find their heart and deal with them under the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, so asking questions and forcing them to give you answers, you see, you do this providing, one, you've got the ability to lead them step by step by step right into God's hand. And you do it providing that they're honest and they're thinking. And they've got the ability to give you, to think about what you're bringing them and give you right answers along the way, because they can see it. When you show it, you can see it. And then if they can do this, then you're in a good shape. You lead them right on in. But if they're being dishonest, then you're good to ask some questions. And if you don't have the capability, then you're good to ask the questions. They cannot argue. If you can't lead them into a corner so they have no objections left, it doesn't do any good. But if you can, it's one of the best schemes there is. And lastly, ask God to lead you. Ask the Lord to give you His love. Ask the Lord to give you answers. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And when they ask you a question you don't know, and say, well, what about this scripture? And you look at it and you say, and immediately something inside of you kind of pensive, I don't know the answer to this. Wait a minute, let us say, well, just let me look at it a minute here. I'm going to go up here and get the context of it. Go up for several verses. And in your heart, you just say, now, Lord, help me to be calm. Give me the answer to this. Reveal it to my mind that I might know. And then go through and read it very slowly, very carefully. So what does this mean? What is this? And come down to the context. And as you do that, and you're not in a state of nervousness, and you relax, and you're reading the whole context, and you're asking the Lord to help, the time you get there, you know the answer. You say, well, what that means is so-and-so. But if you get down past it and you still don't, you'll say, well, I'm going to write that down. And I'm going to do some study on that. And I'm going to come back to you next week, and I'm going to give you an answer. You're going to get an answer, and I'm sure you'll find it a satisfactory answer. Don't just say, well, you got me there. See? Let them know that everything has to line up to God's word. It does line up. There's an answer that will fit, and you're going to get that. But in the meantime, they can't just, these other 10 things you brought them, they can't ignore that. Somehow this has got to fit in with the rest, so leaving that for the moment, you still got to acknowledge this and go on your way. Well, that concludes my two-session series on how to witness on the job. We'll take a 10-minute break and morning worship. God bless you. Yeah, we got to have a quick announcement here before we break.